Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no manipulation, because we don't manipulate people. We don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to con you out of anything. Our job here is simply to give you accurate information. Information that I hope will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, for your nation, for your future. If you choose to take the plan and learn it and use it, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust at your own pace. But this show is never about any manipulation. It's just simply about truth, using the principles and the procedures taught in the Bible, the Word of God, so that you might enjoy the most phenomenal life the world has ever known. It's called the Christian life. It's a life with no fear. It's a life with no worry. It's a life with no guilt. It's a life that's full of expectation, confidence, and hope and joy. This is the life that Jesus Christ, our Savior, lived, and it's the life that He passed on to us. It's called the Christian life. The reason we call our show The Flatline is we're using a military analogy called a flot, F-L-O-T, forward line of troops. If you, using this military analogy, if you develop a forward line of troops, that would consist of 10 unique problem-solving devices taught in the Bible. If you learn them, if you use them, then you can stop the outside source of adversity before it becomes the inside source of stress. That's what we're always trying to tell you on the show, because adversity is inevitable. There's no way around it. But adversity you're going to face, but stress is optional. Stress is what you do to yourself. Adversity may be what the circumstances do to you, but stress is what you do to yourself. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live with guilt. You don't have to live with bitterness. There is a better way to live. It's the Christian life. And if you learn these problem-solving devices and use them, then you will become what the Bible calls a mature believer. See, the Bible tells us, it mandates us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The Bible tells us in the words of our Savior, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now listen to what He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn, study, grow. This is how you advance in the Christian life. This is how you become the person that God wants you to be. You can't just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and expect to be a mature believer overnight. You have to grow up, just like anyone else grows up. And the first problem is, number one, even if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There are a lot of people that have not done that, and I don't know if you're listening to me today and you have not made that decision, but it is the single greatest decision that you could ever make, and a lot of people have never done it. A lot of people worry about the future. A lot of people have questions and talk about controversy. Even in the Bible, in John chapter 3, there was a very famous Pharisee of the Jews who snuck in to see Jesus at night with a question because he wasn't sure about the future. And our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing what was in this man's heart, told him that he needed to be born again. That rather confused him. Born again. He knew he had been born once, but he thought being born again was going back into his mother's womb. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. It's a second birthday. It's a spiritual birthday. And that's why the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. It's a term that evangelicals are familiar with, being born again. simply means you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you do that, then you begin the most fantastic journey all the way to the other side when you pass through death into eternity, where there is no more tear, no more sorrow, no more pain. And what the Bible says, the old things are passed away. But it starts with you believing in Jesus Christ, believing that He is the anointed Son of God. That's all it takes. The Bible clearly says God so loved the world so that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him, hear that word, believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said in John 6:40, "This is the will of the one who sent me, that you believe in me whom you have sent." The problem was they didn't believe that He was the Messiah. Some Pharisees even claimed that He was casting out demons by means of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, or Satan himself. And our Lord corrected that thinking by telling them that a house divided could never stand. So, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the first thing you have to do is grow up spiritually. And if you grow up spiritually, if you come to be a mature believer in Jesus Christ, there's only one way to do it: study, learn, grow. Now, you can do that in one or two ways. You can do that at home around your coffee table, or you can do that in a local church. But you're going to have information. Without information, you can't grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not hearing the Word of God, you're not going to grow. Jesus said in Luke 11:27-28, "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." There's the word again, hear. God gave you two ears, two eyes. You can hear by reading, you can hear by listening, but you must hear to grow. Now, the question is, what are you going to hear? See, Satan is very good. He has his own evangelist. He has his own communion table. He has his own doctrine. I'm not making that up. These words are in the Bible. So what are you hearing? Are you hearing truth, or are you hearing a lie? That's the first question. Because if you're going to hear truth, then you're going to have to hear the Bible. Not a social gospel, not a progressive gospel. You're going to have to hear what the Bible says. That's called divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. Organized religion is very good at offering human viewpoint to solve the problems of man. But God only has one problem-solving way of thinking, and that's divine viewpoint. And that's why the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." So let's assume for a moment that you're listening to me. And many of you are. I know you are. You're listening in California. You're listening in Arizona. You're listening in Texas. You're listening in Mississippi. You're listening in New York. You're listening all across this country. You're listening to me in Illinois, in Maryland. Listen carefully. You are the answer to what America's facing. It's you growing to be a spiritually mature believer that will deliver us from what we face. The enemy that America faces is not the Muslim nations. That's true. They're out there and they don't like us. The enemy that we face is ourself. As goes our spiritual life, so goes our nation. There's a very famous passage in Hosea 4, verse 6, where God pronounced judgment on the Jew, and He said, "Since you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you." You see, knowledge is the key. How can you replicate Christ if you don't understand who He was? How can you live the plan of God if you don't understand what it is? And how can you learn these things if you don't listen to someone teach it to you? So the idea that you can take your Bible and go out and sit on the golf course and commune with God may be very nice because you can smell the daffodils. Look at the azaleas. That's not how you grow. How you grow is sitting in the privacy of your own home or in the privacy of an auditorium, listening to someone communicate the Word of God to you. You get a Bible, you get a notebook, and you take notes and you listen. And as you grow, you face tests. You see, Satan is very much aware that when you start growing, you could be dangerous. You could be someone that would deliver this nation through historical disaster. And the reason that you can do that is you have an impact. You have an invisible impact on your nation as a mature believer. You have a historical impact, a national impact. You have a family impact. As goes your spiritual life, so goes your nation. You know, it didn't take 3 million people for Gideon to deliver the Jews from the Midianites. It only took 300. 300 well-qualified men. And God is looking for some well-qualified believers. If you are one of those people, if you're one of those people who has an insatiable hunger for the Word of God, if you're one of those people who is not distracted so easily by the details of life, not a fanatic, not a weirdo, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a normal person who just simply loves God's Word, who wants to learn it, use it, and live by it, and pass it on to the next generation. If you're that person, then you will be a member of what we call the pivot. The pivot is the core group of mature believers. As goes the pivot, so goes the nation. Listen, we are a client nation for God. The United States of America is a client nation for God. A client nation is a national entity under the protection or the support of God. And that client nation, beginning with Israel all the way to us, and many in between, has been assigned the responsibility for the preservation, the communication, and the fulfillment of the canon of Scripture. A client nation like the United States of America is a nation under divine protection. And the reason is because we have a large pivot, or shall I say we had a large pivot of mature believers, hopefully just like you. These mature believers, they may not always be noticed by the public. You may be a mature believer in your community, in your home, and you may even live alone. But you are a member of the pivot. Because your heart's desire is to grow in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are a member of that pivot, then you are going to offer blessing by association to those who come around you. You're going to offer historical blessing to your nation. But if you're not a member of the pivot, if you're just a Christian dilettante, you know, the casual Christian, nod to God crowd, hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next week, God. Thanks, God, for all the blessings. Oh, by the way, when are more blessings coming? I mean, if that's you, if you have your eyes on the gift and have forgot about the giver, then you are guaranteeing that this nation, the United States of America, will face disaster and ultimately destruction. Because you are what the Bible calls a reversionistic believer. A believer who has spun off from the pivot. A believer who's not a member of that group, and you have rejected the Word of God. You have been trapped in the cosmic system. You reacted to something that happened in a church. You reacted to something that you didn't like, and you got distracted. Then you got in some frantic search for happiness. Listen, I know who you are. Let me outline your life for you. You reacted to something, and you put your Christian faith on the shelf. You got mad, you got angry, your emotions kicked in, and you got distracted from your spiritual life. Maybe you reacted to financial pressure. Maybe you reacted to social pressure. Maybe you reacted to any number of things, but it shut you down spiritually, and you haven't grown in years. And you have been looking for happiness, but in all the wrong places. A frantic search for happiness always leads to a boomerang effect. In other words, your unhappiness has intensified as you went through different levels of the search. And you learned that you spent money you didn't have to buy things you didn't need to impress people that you didn't like. You see, money is not a narcotic to deaden the pain of an empty life. That's not what it is. And you learned that the hard way, didn't you? And now your emotions are burnt up. Now you're in emotional revolt. Now you're feeling sorry for yourself and having a little bit of a pity party because of all the misfortunate and bad things that have happened to you, and probably they are a result of your own bad decisions. Because of that, you get locked in to negative volition to God. Negative. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear anybody tell you what the Bible says. You're not interested in what the Bible says. Matter of fact, you may even think God caused all of this. From this negative volition, you will scar up your soul, and your soul will black out, and you won't be able to see yourself as you really are. You won't be able to understand what's happening to you, because your soul will be past feelings. You won't even feel guilt anymore. And you will begin to act like a person that's not even a believer in your frantic search for happiness. And what's so sad is at one time you were a potential pivot member. At one time you had the opportunity to deliver your nation, but you walked away. And if this nation goes under, if we lose our client nation status with God, we will face the five cycles of discipline. And if that happens, part of it is your responsibility. You see, we all get carnal. We all sin. Come on. Nobody's perfect. We sin. We have a genetically formed sin nature that we got from Adam. And we're always going to have it till we go to heaven and get a resurrection body. But we don't live in that sin. We can recover from our sin. That's why we use problem-solving device number one, the rebound technique. If we confess our sin, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. This is how we recover our spiritual life. This is how we recover the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we are carnal. We quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit. And when we name the sin, we recover the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we resume our spiritual life. That's temporal carnality. But that's not you, is it? No, you're in permanent carnality. You have been like this for a while. And you know it. You don't need me to tell you. You know it. And the question is, what will you do about it? You know, take a look at America. Take a look around you. You may go to work today. Take a look at some people that live around you. If we're going to survive as a free nation, it's going to depend on two things. It's going to depend, number one, on mature believers of the older generation, my generation. Will we finish the race? Will we press on until the end? Or will we wimp out, move over to the side, sit down because of exhaustion, and just give up? Will we? Or will we press on? And will the next generation that's coming behind us, and I'm going to say anyone under the age of 40, that's arbitrary, but anyone under the age of 40, will you pick up the baton? Will you follow the doctrine that we believed and lived? Because if you won't pick up this baton, if you won't follow the doctrine, then you are guaranteeing one thing. America, as a free nation, we're done for. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. We're done for. Listen, Satan has a strategy to defeat us. There's no doubt about that. That strategy starts with the deceit of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, the gospel is hidden. Hidden to those that are lost. Listen, I quote it. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose mind the God of this age is blinded, and they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who the image of God, should shine in on them. One of the ways that Satan seeks to defeat this country is to veil the gospel, to deceive people. It's called psychological ops, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Minds he has blinded. What does that mean? It means he doesn't want you to think clearly. What do you need to think clearly? You need information. Well, how can he stop you from thinking clearly? He stops you from getting the information. He stops the name of Jesus Christ from being mentioned in the public arena. He stops you from telling people about God's plan. Or, as he's really good at, he distorts the message into a counterfeit gospel, which is, in effect, not a gospel at all. This is how he shuts down a client nation such as the United States of America. He shuts us down. Listen, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who the image of God, should shine on them. What happens when you have some light? Well, obviously you can see what you're doing. Obviously you can see the crevices and the dirt. But if there's no light, then there's no way for you to tell where you're going. And that is what Satan's number one objective is, to shut down the light, so that the minds of the generation in behind us will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you see today in the national arena is to shut down the name of Jesus Christ in the public arena, to demonize and marginalize Christians and force them into a corner of their own local church where they can worship ever how they want to, but just don't get out in the public. That's what it's coming to. But there's a second plan that he has, and that's a distraction plan. Revelation 3:17 talks about this distraction, and here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. You say you're rich, and you say you are wealthy, and you say you have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. There's the true spiritual condition of Client Nation USA, who thinks we are so rich. We think we're so wealthy. We think we're so strong. We don't really realize our spiritual condition. Spiritually, we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, it appears we're addicted to pleasure, aren't we? I mean, we have some sort of insatiable desire, like these people say, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing. The Lord said, no, you're not. That's America. We're addicted to pleasure. We have this insatiable desire for instant communication, like 24-hour-a-day news, social intercourse, you know, Twitter, Facebook. What am I doing? What are you doing? That's a whole lot about nothing except a way to connect with people, be it friends or family. And here's the issue. Nobody wants to be alone. People are afraid to be alone. They're lonely. We have a lonely generation. The generation behind me is very much lonely. They feel the need to be loved. They feel the need to be connected. And that's what all this social stuff is about. And it is especially a tool of Satan to distract. You see, time alone with God is very critical, especially if you want to have a prayer life. Listen to Mark 1:35. This is how Jesus spent his time alone. Now in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. While the rest of the disciples were asleep, our Lord got up quietly, did not wake them, went to a solitary place, and had instant communication with his Father. I mean, this is no different than a soldier calling home in the middle of a war. And he wants some privacy. You know, he wants to talk to his wife, to his children, and he only has a few minutes on the international telephone, and he doesn't want another soldier standing behind him. He wants to talk privately, deliberately, intimately. And this is what prayer is. And this is why the need for you to be alone and to be doing it before others get in the middle of it. Social distractions to the spiritual life, they're just a small part of the problem. Compromised morals, pseudo-intellectualism, humanism, socialism, progressive thinking, All of these play a part in capturing the mind of the unbeliever, as well as the believer's time and the believer's imagination. If you add to that the need for both parents to work due to escalating household expenses, you have a recipe for disaster. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, gives us a list of historical trends in the end times. And this list is very much parallel with the behavior among Americans today. And the first thing that Paul lists for Timothy is lovers of money. In 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 6, those who desire to be rich and fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Lovers of money, an indication of a nation in decline. There's nothing wrong with money as long as it's not your God. You don't have a problem if money can solve it. But if money is your God, then you will never, ever have enough. Excuse me. One thing I have to say about this. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul wrote, "We are not as many who peddle the word of God, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ." Any Christian who peddles the Bible is out of line. We're not authorized to sell it. We're not authorized to make money off of it. The Bible says we got it free and we give it away free. I learned that a long time ago from my pastor. And I can tell you, if God's in it, God will pay for it. You don't have to hustle up the funds. So this is one sign of a nation that has a historical trend and is well on the way to destruction. I'll give you the other signs next week, as I'm running out of time rapidly. But lovers of money, people do things for money, things they shouldn't do, thinking that it will buy them some sort of happiness. Temporal happiness, yes, but not the happiness that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offers. The happiness that comes in the most bitter of circumstances and environment. I hope you're listening and I hope you're paying attention. And I have a lot to say about passing the baton. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me here on The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.